is my prayer at this time, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, it really is Advent this time, I'm ready for it, I think. What we're going to be looking at during this Advent season is we're going to look at some of the prophecies in the Old Testament. I think they might even all be in Isaiah, the ones that we're looking at, about the coming of Jesus. And the way I'm choosing these prophecies is one of the traditions we seem to have in a lot of churches in the Advent season, as we are lighting our Advent candles, is to sing a verse of O Come, Emmanuel, which is a song all about the prophecies about Jesus. So we're going to be taking a look at the prophecies that are mentioned in that song about the coming of Jesus. A few notes about the song. It was translated by a gentleman named John Mason Neal, and published in 1851, based upon an old Latin hymn from about the 12th century called Veni, Veni, Emmanuel. And when Neal published this, it's kind of interesting. The original Latin hymn had three verses. When he translated it, it came out to about eight. And I don't know, not knowing any Latin, I'm not sure which ones were the original ones and which ones were added. Its original title, as he had it, was Draw Nigh, Emmanuel. And then apparently his publicist or somebody said, you know, let's shorten that up a little bit, so it became O Come, Emmanuel. He's credited with writing about 130 different hymns, and I was looking over the list of them, and I only recognized two others. Good Christian Men Rejoice and Good King Wenceslaus were among them. I didn't recognize any of the others. But what I wanted to talk about today was in the first verse of O Come, Emmanuel, we're asking Jesus to ransom captive Israel. And we know this is Jesus because the name Emmanuel means God with us. And in our tradition as Christians, and hopefully this is something that we as Christians all agree upon, is the fact that Jesus is God, that Jesus was God sent to earth. And one of the reasons he came was to ransom Israel, to set Israel free. And this meant a lot of different things to a lot of different people. People had different expectations as to what this freedom would entail. At the time that Jesus came, Israel was part of the Roman Empire. And a lot of people were thinking that when the Messiah came, he would liberate the nation of Israel from the Roman Empire. That's what a lot of people expected. Because if you look throughout the history of Israel, quite frequently Israel was being conquered by foreign powers, and then they would be set free. At the time of Isaiah, for example, Israel was being attacked and eventually subjugated by the Midian Empire, and the emperor's name was Tiglath-Pileser, if that's not a mouthful. Tiglath-Pileser. This will all be on the test at the end. But Isaiah was talking at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. He's talking about the fact that this emperor is coming and he's going to conquer us. And there's nothing we can do to prevent it. Because the nation of Israel had sinned against God. So they were in one of those phases in the history of Israel where they were being cursed. But he also said, don't worry about it because one day we will be set free. Our scripture lesson is from Isaiah chapter 8. Verses 6 to 10, because this people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoices over Rezin and the sons of Remaliah. Therefore the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the river. The king of Assyria, with all his pomp, was a Midian, it was Assyria. My mistake. I am corrected. It will overflow all the channels and run over its banks. and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of the land, O Emmanuel. Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands, prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Purpose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. You see, Isaiah is promising the people that one day they will be set free from Assyria. I've got Midian on the mind, Assyria. And they were. This is one of those prophecies. One of the things I really like about a lot of the Old Testament prophecies is that they've come true more than once. Sometimes, like this one, for example, it came true in this age, and it came true again later, when Jesus, our Emmanuel, came to set us free. One of the great examples of this, I'm going to be talking a lot today also about the communion, because the communion is a great example of this freedom. We celebrate communion as a memory of the Passover. And the Passover, if you'll remember, is that celebration that Israel has every year to remember the fact that they were set free from captivity in Israel. That's what that celebration is. And we celebrate communion again to celebrate our freedom from sin. That is, in fact, the freedom that Jesus Christ came to provide, is a freedom from sin. Not from the oppression of a foreign nation, but really kind of from ourselves. When Jesus was betrayed, if you'll remember to your Sunday school lessons, Judas sold him out for 30 gold coins, or silver, excuse me, 30 pieces of silver. If you look at Roman law, and I thought this was really interesting when I found this out. If you're going to sell a slave in the Roman Empire in the first century, you had to sell him for a minimum of 30 pieces of silver. That was the lowest price you could accept for selling a slave. So what was really going on when Judas betrayed Jesus was he sold him into slavery. Very much like the whole nation of Israel had been sold into slavery in Egypt thousands of years before. His death on the cross set him free from that slavery and set us free from ours. It was Jesus who paid the price. You see, when anyone sins, something has to die in order for there to be forgiveness. If we go back to the very first sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, God clothed them when they ate from the tree of the knowledge, they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they became aware of their nakedness. So God clothed them in animal skins. Well, in order to get those animal skins, something had to die. You can't really get animal skins without killing the animal first. That was the first sacrifice made on behalf of people. And God made that sacrifice himself. Eventually in history, we get into the book of Exodus where we discover the different laws. And there are laws throughout the book of Exodus about when you sin, here are the sacrifices that need to be made for your forgiveness. Jesus was the final sacrifice. The sacrifice that paid for the sins of all mankind, every sin that ever happened, every sin that was happening on that day, and every sin that would ever happen in the future. He paid the price. He paid the ransom that set us free. In prophecies, any of these prophecies where they talk about Israel, I think we can look at them and apply those prophecies to us as the church. Israel is representative at this time of God's people, because God made Israel his people, just as today his church are his people. So when they talk about Israel being freed in those days, we can look at the church. We can consider ourselves Israel. We consider ourselves his people. It is for us that he came. It is us who are freed. Mourning in lonely exile. There were many times in Israel's history where they were in exile. They were taken from their homes. They were taken away from Israel. They were taken out of what they considered to be the presence of God, not realizing, of course, that God was in all places at all times. Was there not a time in our lives where we were in exile, when we were away from the presence of God, waiting to come home until the Son of God appears? When He came into our lives, He was there the whole time, but we didn't notice. We did not accept. In this season of Advent, we are waiting again. It is a time where we are waiting for Christ. Not just waiting for Christmas. Not just waiting for the day when we gather around the tree and celebrate with friends and family. But we are waiting for Him to come again. And it could happen at any time. It may be today. It may be this week. It may be this month. It may be years from now. But we wait, not in exile, because we know He is with us. He's in our hearts. Every time I talk about this, I remember when Ruby was very small. I remember one Sunday in the church where we were worshiping. I don't remember how the conversation came up, but I was talking to Ruby about the fact that what the church was God's house. And she said to me, "Do you mean to tell me that God lives here?" I said, "Yeah. God lives here." She says to me in her the wisdom of about a three-year-old, she says, "God doesn't live here. God doesn't live in this building." I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah, God lives here." She's a pretty smart kid. Yes.
Lives right here.
So when we take our communion today, I want us to remember that this is the price that was paid for us, for our freedom, our ransom. We have been in our lives held captive by sin, held captive by ourselves. And if Jesus had not come, we would still be in that captivity. We would still be held. We would not be free as we are today. The price has been paid once and for all. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.